What if your next team workshop delivered the results you hoped for? What if you can keep the momentum of the workshop and can get everyone to follow up even weeks after? I'm Miriam Hatness, and it's my mission to help you to deliver workshops that drive sustainable results. Today on my show is Roma Stuckenberg, and we'll be talking about artistic intelligence and what business leaders and facilitators can learn from artists to design better workshops. Hi, Romas. I'm happy to have you on the show today. And we are going to talk about artistic intelligence. Before we start with it, I have one question for you. If you were a hashtag, what would you be?
So first of all, thanks for having me, Miriam. Glad to be here and to talk about artistic intelligence. And as for your question, I recently came across a rather chunky word, and that word is eclecticism.
How do you write that?
Sorry?
How do you write that?
Oh yeah, good question. I would have to check it. It's essentially this combination of different fragments from the buffet of experiences out there, so that makes a lot of sense to me.
Mm-hmm. So a cocktail of experiences.
Yeah, yes.
That sounds interesting. You have a background in design and in art. Mm-hmm. You've studied art, you've studied design, you worked in many different think tanks, you mm-hmm. went to the prestigious Amsterdam Think School mm-hmm. for creative leadership. So what is, according to you, the biggest misconception about design and art?
So what I should say is that I studied design. I not necessarily studied art, although we felt like really good neighbors and we were quite close to each other. So I learned one thing or two about the world of art. And also, my father has been an artist, so there's some legacy mm-hmm. there. Mm-hmm. The funny thing during my studies was that the designers strived to become artists, and the artists were quite applied and rather were on the entrepreneurial side, mm-hmm. preparing for the world of art. So it's confusing. There is a red thread, though, that connects all those people, and that's how they approach creativity or how they approach creative questions. Mm-hmm. And that's not too far from each other, I would say. Namely, it is about deep diving into a question mm-hmm. and somehow finding a path to a result or something that could be considered an answer.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Yeah. According to you, what is the true value of a designer in the business world?
Mm-hmm. My first observation would be that there is a kind of inflation to it. The notions of creativity and design are way too much used or overused, and sometimes even abused. What I think is the true value of it is something I would phrase with navigating uncertainty. Mm-hmm. So finding a path through something that needs to be crafted and designed along the way. And therefore a certain tool set or a certain mindset, tool set is not the right expression, but a certain mindset of how you navigate. Mm-hmm. And that's something that makes design quite quite unique, mm-hmm. also a little clunky and slow. And so there's not all the things about design are as beautiful as it sounds or as it appears. But if it comes to the necessity for imagination, the art of imagination, then that's really where a designer can help. Mm-hmm. The design perspective can help.
Yes. You just started this project, that you call artistic intelligence, acronym AI. Fantastic. What is the story? What is your story behind this project?
You mentioned Think School of Creative Leadership initially, and that's where it started 3 years ago. I met two peers and friends at Think School, and we shared this observation that within business, there is a bias towards optimism.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, we were not advocates for pessimism, but we felt like there are certain questions you can't ask within businesses. It's impossible to ask them. Something like, why do we exist as a company? Or
The big questions.
Oh yes, the really big ones. And maybe even worse, the question of are we maybe outdated? Are mm-hmm. we still necessary to exist
mm-hmm.
or required to exist? So we shared this idea to open a space to deal with those questions in a fruitful way.
Mm-hmm.
That was the basic grain of inspiration there. And along the way, we drafted ideas, we hosted first workshops, and eventually we started a collaboration with a team from Berlin.
Mm-hmm.
Some artists came and joined the team, an organizational developer. And then out of this team came artistic intelligence as an entrepreneurial idea, together with my business partner, Caroline Rütter.
Mm-hmm.
And we are now really crafting the DNA of this company.
That sounds like a nice challenge to have. And I wonder, how difficult is it to get the business people to answer these very big existential questions using art?
So what we see is the higher you go up in traditional hierarchy, the more you find appetite for approaches like this. The more openness you find towards arts and the more deeper or bigger questions you find. If you rather look at traditional middle management, it's the opposite. They're mm-hmm. entirely different questions matter. It's really more on the operational side. It's about can I improve my own situation? It's about politics and all this rat tail of
mm-hmm.
annoying stuff.
Mm-hmm.
On top management level, it's definitely big appetite,
mm-hmm.
although this doesn't make it less or it doesn't make it more feasible to place such an ambitious idea or concept in business. So it's definitely not for everyone.
So it's rather, if I get you right, for the very big strategic questions with an open end.
Yes. Whether it's in terms of organizational development,
mm-hmm.
or what kind of company do we want to become,
mm-hmm.
and what kind of company do we want to be known for?
Mm-hmm.
And also, of course, in moments of crisis or uncertainty again.
Mm-hmm.
So what will the future hold for us? And then also, of course, in terms of reputation and innovation,
mm-hmm.
both realms also matter. So.
And when I hear all these keywords that you just mentioned, the first question that comes to my mind is, what is the difference between artistic and creative?
So creative is something I can relate to quite a lot. Unfortunately, it is, as I mentioned before, it's an abused word.
Mm-hmm.
Often, or in many, many cases, what is meant by when people say creative is a gamified approach to traditional business work style. As for art, what I find so intriguing is that it is essentially about self-leadership. You become, or when you work like an artist, you have to ask yourself what it is you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to figure out how you can pursue this path. There's no no help you can ask for. You first have to figure it out yourself. So it's essentially about self-leadership, and then combined, it is about courage, individual courage.
Mm-hmm.
And in this regard, the arts are quite have a stable reputation for those traits. That's why, to us, the artistic approach is has a different standing or different sense of radical thinking to it.
Mm. So this would be a totally different or new method. To what extent does it relate or does it differ from what we know as design thinking methods?
Yeah, design thinking is mainly about accelerating, to my understanding at least. It is also about helping people who have not been exposed so much to creative working to digest the pace and the uncertainty of creativity by giving certain exercises names and coming up with putting doodles on your whiteboard to make it all a little bit more easier to digest.
So the same gamified approach that you mentioned earlier.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's my... Yes, I would say so. Mm-hmm.
Mm. So if you say that design thinking is about speed, would this mean that AI, artistic intelligence, is about slowing down?
To me, it is about depth.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember the IDEO mood meter. IDEO is this famous design thinking firm, obviously. And they came up with this curve of describing what the process is like that you will encounter in a creative work or a creative project. And it has this U shape. And of course, at some point because you will enter new territory, you will reach a certain point where all the things you thought about what you're working on don't apply anymore. That's mm-hmm. this lowest point in the U. And it will feel quite uncomfortable. And what we noticed also in conversations with artists is what artists are really good at is at this moment in this process to not just quickly go up again, but to even deep dive, mm-hmm. to even get lost or let themselves fall into that very moment of new territory.
And to sit with the pain.
It can be pain, it can be also just confusion.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not necessarily about painting this romantic picture of the suffering artist.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that if you encounter something truly, genuinely new, it will definitely feel, you will feel discomfort.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So in your AI workshops then, is it only the mindset and philosophy of art that you apply, or do you really get your workshop participants to get their hands dirty?
It is both, and we are also still experimenting with what works for what kind of audience. Ideally, it is really about being in a studio, taking advantage of the quality of space as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the physical space, of course, and helping people to feel free. And that's exactly what an artist studio can help you with. And then also it's about the social space, naturally, because you need to feel comfortable enough to be courageous with mm-hmm. your thinking. And in the end, it's all about helping this courageous or the individual courage in thinking to emerge.
I wonder whether businesses are already ready for this jump, because I have the impression that already the design thinking approach, getting them into the creative rooms or innovation rooms, put them kind of out of their comfort zone. Do you feel that the AI approach takes them even one step further,
Or could it also be more comforting for others? Because it doesn't have this pressure of high-speed innovation within it.
Let me answer this in two ways. The practical answer is that we are quite aware that we need to connect to traditional processes.
Mm-hmm.
So there is no real value if you just help just create a space where people can get lost and find ideas and then think. You need to connect it again back to a process that translates into results, into change, whatever it is. So it needs to lead back. That's mm-hmm. the first answer. And the second thing would be that, yes, it is more challenging, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a personal agenda also attached to it. And this personal agenda is that that's how we started it in the first place, that we believe that a healthy economy, and by looking at it from 2019, needs to have reflected businesses.
Mm-hmm.
So there's an urgency as well. And also looking at what is a healthy economy, what is a useful business,
mm-hmm.
how can we think about also the connection between, or the value of what does business bring for people?
Mm-hmm.
How does it improve? How does it help? So it is quite a far stretch to traditional thinking in terms of efficiency.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, it is also a solution for a certain confusion that spreads in businesses. Mm-hmm. It's also part of the reality that we encounter, that in conversations with our leadership, if you, or I don't know if this applies to all the companies out there, but in rather intimate conversations with higher management or leaders, there it shows that the questions are quite urgent and quite big.
Mm-hmm.
They are already there. And there is a lack of ideas how to process them.
Mm-hmm. You described a process where you force your participants to sit with discomfort, with confusion, to slow down the process so that they're able to think about the big questions. And still, at the end of the workshop, you want to translate this journey into results. So how do you converge then again after all this artistic confusion?
So maybe I will answer this question by using an example.
Yes.
A workshop that we prototyped in early 2018.
Mm-hmm.
And for this workshop, we worked with, I think 10 individuals from all kinds of different roles. So it was not a team, but mm-hmm. individuals.
From the same company?
No, in different companies.
Mm-hmm.
So those people didn't know each other before.
Okay.
But each of them brought a personal question,
mm-hmm.
work-related question. And what we did is that we paved the ground to focus on those questions with the tools that organizational development and coaching and systemic approaches come up with. So a lot of dialogue, a lot of slowed down individual conversations, narrowing
mm-hmm.
down on what really matters.
Mm-hmm.
And then we made a transition and in form of a walk to an artist studio. And then we helped or empowered our participants to explore their questions
mm-hmm.
with artistic means. During that second stage of the day, the artists were in charge. Those are two artists that day, they were in charge of leading the artistic work.
Mm-hmm.
And despite having maybe also quite heavy questions, it was a very fulfilling or happy afternoon, I would say. So it was quite a joyful exploration.
Mm-hmm.
It had a lot of elements, plenty of elements of play, comprising all sensations that come to play. So mm-hmm. you might feel euphoric, you might also feel a little confused, but it's playful.
Mm-hmm.
And then to round it off, we then blend it back into this organizational development approach
mm-hmm.
or this reflection phase by helping our participants to focus on certain aspects they experienced and come up with implications, ideas that are to be taken out of the workshop and applied. So it's a transition to a moment of artistic exploration
mm-hmm.
and then also back to how can I apply it? What should I do next?
Before we continue the show, let me take a brief moment to thank our sponsor SessionLab. SessionLab.com is an online agenda planning tool that helps me to keep all I need for my workshop planning in one place. SessionLab offers an easy-to-use drag-and-drop agenda builder, a color scheme that gives me an immediate feel on the balance of activities, and the option to share a branded document with my clients. No more struggles with Excel for every agenda update or last-minute changes in the schedule. So if you're looking for a smooth way to prepare a workshop or meeting agenda that not only looks amazing but also professional, sign up for SessionLab. I use it myself and I wouldn't recommend it if I didn't believe in its value.
You said that you introduced this transition by walking from the meeting room where you gathered to the artistic space. Did you also then move back to the initial meeting room in order to reflect on what happened in the other space?
Absolutely, yes.
Nice.
That's how we did it.
How did you feel, how did you perceive the difference in setting in the environment? What is the impact of the workshop environment in general? How much does it impact whether you're sitting in one of those creative innovation rooms that many companies now introduced compared to a normal meeting room and now compared to your artistic space that you introduced in your format?
The quality of space matters a lot. It definitely doesn't matter alone. So there's no point in just providing a space with possibility if you don't facilitate the space.
Mm-hmm.
And in that sense, what worked really well in the art studio, for example, is that we had two collaborators who were able to empower our participants to try out things,
mm-hmm.
to be courageous, and to not feel that they could fail or get lost in a way that they will not be able to return afterwards.
And these were the artists, I suppose.
Exactly, yes.
So what did they differently than another facilitator, professional facilitator from the business environment would do?
It's a tough one, because what we understood when we debated our idea of artistic intelligence is that if you want to work with art, you must work with diversity.
Mm-hmm.
We'll work with all that is out there. In our example, our two artists, Silke Bartsch and Susanne Schildewan, they have a very embracing way of helping people to try out things.
Mm-hmm.
You feel the authenticity of that's you are in their natural habitat,
mm-hmm.
their own studio. And it feels, of course, very inviting and welcoming.
Mm-hmm. So it's authenticity and inviting space.
Yes.
I like that. I would like to go into exploring another direction of how you facilitate and approach workshops and what, according to you, makes workshops work. And I would like to ask the question, or to introduce the question, with an article I came across where someone mentioned a workshop that you facilitated and said that you asked the participants to look into their fears. So what can a participant find in their fears to explore their strength?
Yeah, so this was one of the first experiments we we hosted as a workshop, and it was quite bold from our side. So mostly the shape of fear or the form of fear that I encounter most often within businesses is social fear.
Mm-hmm.
It has to do with, am I contributing in a really useful way or am I useless? So there's a feeling of being useless or the risk of being useless.
Mm-hmm.
And in that sense, to maybe go a little bit further and accept that, yes, there is a lot of things that we do that are indeed useless, can be quite relaxing in a way.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you need to be in a space where it's accepted.
Mm-hmm.
Having said that, there is a certain limit to it, I would say. Because if fear, if you trigger fears that are deeper rooted, that mm-hmm. are rather on a very personal level, then we enter a different territory. We enter the territory of coaching and personal, kind of therapeutic approaches.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that is quite valuable and necessary, yet it's not what we focus on with artistic intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
So it's for us, it's really rather on the business side of things or the strategic side of things. So what is the fear of the company and how are my own fears attached to it?
Mm-hmm.
That makes a lot of sense. But we can't or we won't cover this deeper layer of fear,
yeah.
which can also be quite difficult then, because then you need different experts to work with that.
And especially, I guess, once you started the discussion or once you started exploring fear, it might become a slippery slope to get your participants back once they start to explore the emotional sides of fear and turn the workshop into a self-help group.
Exactly.
Yeah. This happened to me once, and all participants were very happy with the outcome. And I felt like a true failure because I thought, okay, this was not the scope of the workshop. We wanted to talk about businesses and startups and not about a self-help group. That was a tremendous learning.
May I add something at this moment? Because what you just said, that it might happen. You might trigger a chain reaction.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, you have the question on your table, what to do about it?
Mm-hmm.
And that's maybe something that today, facilitation should definitely be aware of. The more you deal with things like purpose and the social with each other,
mm-hmm.
then the more you will, the more likely it is that you will trigger something. And then it is definitely helpful to know what to do or to have a certain approach to it.
Mm-hmm. And I can imagine that then the tool of using art might help to find a different way of communication, because it's easier to communicate through nonverbal communication or through art or through Lego, as many workshops also do. And this might then also help the facilitator to remain in the or to link it back to a business case and not going further down the road of coaching or therapy.
Yes, I would agree.
I would like to come back to one thing you said about feeling useless, the fear of feeling useless that is very often confirmed in workshops. When some individuals simply don't participate, I have observed that in workshops that I participated myself, where you have some dominant individuals and some introverts. How do you make sure that you can include everyone? Although those who might be afraid of art, that they judge themselves not being creative enough, how can you include them all?
There's a lot to be said about the frame of the workshop setting, I guess. If it's part of a very operational initiative and it has very tight tight budget or tight schedule, and there maybe even people who will join the workshop, not just for the full day, but it's impossible for them, and they will just dip into the group and just leave again. All those things make it much more difficult to include everyone. So I think the magic in a well-facilitated workshop lies in all those details, to fine-tune all the details, to open the day in a meaningful way, to also close it in a meaningful way, to really have those brackets,
mm-hmm.
and then also kind of hygiene in between,
mm-hmm.
in terms of how to communicate and also how to address interruptions or disruptions of,
mm-hmm.
of communication, or if people interrupt each other, those kind of things. And I haven't found the silver bullet yet,
mm-hmm.
personally. I think the artistic intelligence approach gives us a little bit more of, a little bit more headroom to design workshops that will tackle all those details, because it addresses way more senses, and there's much more depth in how you can, or what you can design. It's, you have more scope.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, in the end, it's, to me, it is essentially also about preparation, to learn as much as possible about the persons you will work with beforehand,
mm-hmm.
whether it's through individual interviews, or also within the workshop, to have to design space in which it's not the entire group that will interact with each other, but where you break it down into smaller groups and maybe even face-to-face
mm-hmm.
conversations. Those elements definitely worked for us.
Mm-hmm. I made the same experience, that it's good to split up the group into smaller groups or teams of two, just to go more in depth and then have a group debrief of what they have discussed. Yeah. You said that it's important to find a meaningful closure of the meeting or the workshop. What would be for you a meaningful closure?
So at least it is a proper checkout.
Mm-hmm.
So
yes.
That's something, of course, we do a lot, checking in, checking out,
mm-hmm.
In a very open way. So it's very, can be very personal.
Mm.
So creating space to address or express feedback in a way that you don't have to put it on the stage,
mm-hmm.
but you can express it and nonetheless keep it also for yourself.
I'm curious now. My intuition tells me that the checkout would be more personal and more in-depth than the check-in, especially after this artistic intelligence filling in between. Do you observe the same? Do you have the same feeling about it?
Yes, I can affirm. The interesting thing I can share, thinking of the workshop that I just explained, is where we gathered a group of individual leaders, we actually faced a challenge in our checkout, because the atmosphere was so fired up and so warm,
mm-hmm.
that the checkout round was extremely positive and happy and
mm-hmm.
joyful. And to our taste, it was a little bit too much. Yeah, it was quite biased. It was
mm-hmm.
it had this positive bias. It was beautiful.
You manipulated them.
Flattering. Nonetheless, I had the impression that it diminished the space for critical thoughts as well.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are the sixth person in the row and everyone else was really in a extremely good mood, and then you are the one who comes up with something, kind of a flaw or something you
mm-hmm.
were irritated by, it takes a lot of courage once again. So, yeah.
Interesting. How can you make sure that this doesn't happen now that you experienced it? What could you do to avoid it the next time?
So in that moment, it was just a gift. And I think everyone also enjoyed that moment of cheering.
Mm-hmm.
And how we approached this is that, of course, we asked for another layer of feedback afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
So we were really persistent about receiving feedback. Maybe even too much. So having different stages, different rounds of asking what works, what is missing, what should be made in a different way, or what were tensions. So to ask those questions.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you also create the criticism by that, because maybe
yes.
there was nothing. But nonetheless, I think it's really good to have different ways of articulating, or different channels, let's put it this way. So you have to check out together, then you have a follow-up, and so everyone can articulate what they have.
Yeah, nice. Maybe final question. What would be the transformation of a participant through artistic intelligence, or for a team through your workshop?
So there's a cliche word of inspiration.
Mm-hmm.
So like this creativity, it's a very overused word. But if you look at it, and what it's essentially meaning is that there's a moment of when you feel touched.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a moment that afterwards you can make sense of,
mm-hmm.
but in that very moment you can feel it. And you feel it as one who is inspired, as well as the one who witnesses this situation. For example, I had one, it's a couple of years back, but I had a client workshop in a rather branding context. And one of my clients, she had tears in her eyes after our final round-off session. And so this was obvious. Something really happened during that day.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, in general, that's the power of inspiration. If you reach someone's heart, whether it's in a good or maybe in a disruptive way,
mm-hmm.
doesn't matter that much, but it made a difference. So it's this really deep-rooted inspiration, a disruptive inspiration. Sorry
mm-hmm.
for those two buzzwords,
but that's fine.
In its essential way.
With all your experience, what makes a workshop work?
Yeah, if I may come back to something I mentioned earlier, but now narrowing it a little down. So it's threefold to me. First of all, it's this quality of physical space. So what is the quality of the space we are in? What does it allow us to do? What doesn't allow it? Then this supports, in a way, the social quality.
Mm-hmm.
So what is the quality of communication? Do I feel judged or do I feel respected? All this big realm of, yeah, what's the quality of the social interaction? And then this, of course, supports the quality of individual courage.
Mm-hmm.
How courageous will I be to formulate a thought or to dare a thought?
Mm-hmm.
And if I did, am I willing to share it? So this is the chain of support, in a way,
mm-hmm.
that in the end is really about the quality of what is thought and formulated in that workshop.
And what can a facilitator do to make sure that this quality of space, of interaction and communication is assured and maintained?
Mastering contradiction, I guess.
Mastering so, contradiction.
Yes.
Can you elaborate?
On the one hand, you need to be a master in kindness. That's at least my personal belief.
Mm-hmm.
I really believe in kindness.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, this doesn't always work. So there must also be a kind of determination, kind of strictness, if necessary,
mm-hmm.
Or let's call it guidance or leadership. So, but it goes in two directions in that regard. If you have to be able to switch between
mm-hmm.
what it means.
It reminds me of a huge poster that I took home after a design sprinting workshop at the HPI, and it just says, defer judgment.
Oh, yes.
And for me, it says it all. If as a facilitator, you can be kind enough to defer judgment in a very authentic way and still guide someone back on track of the discussion without judging them, I think this helps a lot to create this safe space that you need for open discussions.
So may I add a thought? During my time at Sync School, we had also this lesson, let's call it lesson, of delaying judgment. So not getting rid of it, but just don't express it immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Give it time, you know, think wait for the right timing. Because there needs to be judgment eventually for certain decisions and also in the artistic intelligence way or the creative way. In the end, you need to make decisions. And
mm-hmm.
making a decision comes with a certain sense of judgment.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, of course, a question of when does it happen and in what way does it happen.
And based on what rules, cultures, norms you base your judgment. Very interesting. This would be an entire episode as such. So many topics we have covered. Thinking back, what is the piece of information, the nutshell, you would like the audience to take home, to remember?
What resonates with me right now is this focus on individual courage.
Mm-hmm.
And as a facilitator, what can I do to create the best setting for individual courage? I think that's quite a good start.
And what would be what is the way you encourage courage usually in your workshops?
Courage.
Yes.
For me, it means coming back to inspiration. If I feel genuinely inspired, I don't see burdens or restraints. I feel liberated and I feel courageous enough to try something. That's the beauty of inspiration.
And how can you inspire your participants?
I wish I had this universal answer to it. But to me, that exactly is the magic of what you can do as, say, someone who leads a workshop or facilitates a workshop.
Mm-hmm.
This is really the sweet spot that's highly personal. And it requires also an understanding of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Coming back to this sort of authenticity.
Mm-hmm.
And also about listening to the group. I witnessed so many workshops in which facilitators were not able to understand what is happening in the room, that people were getting tired or that they had an entirely different need. And there are certain things I think that you can't prepare for.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you want to learn to swim, it's really, you can do a lot on countryside or outside of the water, but in the end you'll have to swim.
To practice in the water. Yes.
Exactly. So that's essentially the same with workshops, I guess.
So if I get you correctly, then the facilitator can encourage personal courage in the participants by being authentic, by listening and giving them the room to maybe be authentic themselves, to dare to swim with lacking skills, despite lacking skills?
That would be the starting point, yeah.
Okay.
And then along the way, develop the own wisdom
mm-hmm.
of what works and what doesn't.
Mm-hmm. Good. Enough food for thought.
I hope so.
Yes. Thank you very much for your time. If the audience would like to learn more about artistic intelligence, about your branding company, and what other formats you offer, how can they find and reach you?
First of all, thanks, Miriam, for coming up with the questions and making me think about all those things. And as for my projects, I can leave two websites, basically, I guess. So first of all would be artisticintelligence.de. And the other company I run is Creative Consultancy. And that is can be reached via name.eu.
And it is a fantastic webpage. I really love to visit it. So well designed, so much insights to find there.
We are still due to deliver an English version for name, but it's coming.
It is, hopefully soon. Thank you so much, and I wish you a beautiful evening.
Same for you, Miriam.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you for staying tuned and listening to the show. I appreciate your attention, as I know how busy you are. If you enjoyed it, please subscribe and engage by sharing your comments and thoughts, and visit workshops.org to download the one-page summary. I'm looking forward to seeing you back at the next episode, and I wish you a fruitful day.